1 Corinthians 12. We are in our series, Spiritual Gifts series. I think most of you are aware of that. We're just about to finish up the speaking gifts tonight, and then we're going to go into the serving gifts. We'll get as far as we can on that. Remember last week I mentioned to you three objectives for Anchor Baptist Church. Can anybody remember what is the numero uno objective for Anchor Baptist Church? Glorify God. Very good. All right. That's bonus points. Bonus points, Brother Barry. There you go. Glorify God. Anybody remember what the objective number two is for Anchor Baptist Church? Edify the saints. Okay. Very good. And objective number three. I think I heard it. Fulfill the Great Commission. Okay. Praise the Lord. So these are our three objectives all the time. Glorify God, edify the saints, fulfill the Great Commission. And personally, I believe that's the order that it ought to be in as well. Because if we, again, if we go to number three right away, then we could be a witness for Christ in an unglorifying way. And we don't want to do that. We want to glorify God even in our witness. And so those are the three objectives that we mentioned last week to begin. Okay, so tonight we are looking at the Word of Wisdom, our fourth speaking gift. And we see that in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom. Wisdom, taking the facts and being able to make application with those facts. Taking the word of God, taking the scripture and applying it to solve a problem. Do you realize that God has given us everything that we need in his word to live life in every capacity? We don't need anything else. Now, I'm so thankful for other men and women who have wrote Christian books. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for many that I have that are written by pastors. I'm thankful for that. But what's the one book that's the sword? It's the Word of God. No commentary is the sword of the Spirit. No book by... it doesn't matter who it is, and there's a lot of good books. I'm not downing books. I'm just saying that everything that we need for life in the Christian life, and a lot of our, Christian life, whether it be in our homes, in our workplaces, principles are found right here in God's Word. And I'm thankful that we have that. Here's a quote that I found. The primary use of wisdom is spiritual understanding of God's will. What is God's will for our life? Now, there are numerous verses in the Bible that say this is the will of God, and I'm not necessarily referring to those, but it is the ability to understand what does God want with my life? What does God have for my life? You know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I think it was in one of our missionary letters. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. This doesn't make sense. That's okay. You don't have to understand it. I don't have to understand it. Lean not into thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Helping others, this gift, this word of wisdom, is someone who is a student of the word of God, helping others to grow and go in the right way of the Lord. You know that it is the prayer of believers, it ought to be our prayer for one another, that every day we're going in the right direction. You know how easy it is to just go in the wrong direction? One little thing can happen in our day, and our whole day is a mess. It doesn't have to be that way. Things can come into our life in a day, and we can have been in the Word of God in the morning, and something can come into our life, and we can continue to go the right direction, even though things are coming in from the outside, pushing us to try to go the opposite way. The blessing of being in the will of God is to know what God has for us, when God has it for us. And by the way, many times it means waiting. Waiting. As we go in the will of God, we will know the will of God. God wants us every day to open up his word. You need wisdom? God's word is full of wisdom for us. God's word is full of wisdom for us. It would be wise, by the way, it would be wise as we grow in the Lord and as we have things come into our life. I wrote this down. There is a reason why God, and maybe we talked a little bit about this last week, there's a reason why God has given us a pastor to help us if a decision comes up. And you know what? That doesn't mean that we're not capable of making a decision, but we want to get the pastor who's prayed for us, who's has the desire for us to be in God's will. Maybe we need to seek the pastor's advice about this purchase or about this change of job or about this move. One thing I would never advise anyone to do is move anywhere where there's not a Bible preaching church. Before you ever make a move, don't move anywhere unless you find a church to go to. Then look for a place to live. That's more important. And so the word of wisdom. Number five, speaking gift number five. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. It's the gift of exhortation. Exhortation. Romans chapter 12, verse 8. The word exhortation, comfort, help advise, or strengthen with the word of God. Remember, spiritual gifts are to be used to equip, to edify who? Family of God. I don't know what somebody said, but I think it's something to that nature. It's not meant for my gain. It's not meant for your personal gain. It is meant to help in the local church. And that's why we need everybody using your gift. Imagine a church where every believer is using their spiritual gifts. You know what you have? You have a machine right there. A spiritual machine. And that's what we're seeking. Not for the sake of saying we have it, but for why? To glorify God. That's why we're seeking it. To equip the saints, to edify the saints, and to evangelize the lost, to reach the gospel, to preach the gospel. That's why we're seeking everyone to be using their spiritual gift. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse number 8. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Verse 6 talks about gifts. I'm not going to go back and read that, but here it is. Exhortation. The word exhortation, I said it a moment ago. Comfort. Help advise or strengthen using the word of God. Helping bear the load of someone who is hurting or struggling. Let's take a little bit of survey here tonight. How many of you have ever struggled in the Christian life? Raise your hand. Your hand's not up. You don't understand what the word struggled means because you'd have it up. That's right. We have all struggled in the Christian life. I don't think you're going to find a church that is void of people that are struggling. Now, it's a cycle thing. Today, you might say, well, I'm not struggling right now. Or you might say, well, I'm struggling right now. And we might get to next week, and we overcome whatever that is by the word of God and by the strength of the Lord in our life. But we need people that will come to us from time to time. That is this gift of exhortation, strengthening others in order to help them reach spiritual maturity. It's not saying that those with this gift are spiritually mature and they can't grow anymore. No, we need to all be thinking, I've got to grow. I've got to grow. I've got to grow. I've got to grow in the Lord. I've got to gain more biblical understanding. Christians need to be challenged to do more and start now. Someone with a gift of exhortation can come up to someone who maybe is a new believer and say, hey, why don't you come out? Why don't you come out to soul winning with me and you can be my silent partner? Hey, have you ever done a discipleship? You ever been discipled? Let's go talk to the pastor about it. Someone who is that spark plug, maybe, if you will, to initiate that. Maybe they're not going to do the discipling, but they're initiating that contact with said individual. Exhorting always includes instruction and encouragement. We need to be instructed, but we also need to be encouraged. We all love encouragement. There's nobody here that says, I just can't stand encouragement. That's part of exhortation. But it's also instruction. We can't just constantly encourage without giving instruction. And sometimes instruction hurts. So with this gift of exhortation, we have the right spirit. Again, all of these gifts are to be used in humility. It's not a matter of saying, you know, I have these three gifts, you don't, so I'm better than you. No, whatever gifts you have, whether it's one or three, that's not the point. We want to use them in humility. Remember, because if we're using them in pride, what happens? We're going to be resisted by God. It's not going to go anywhere, by the way. God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. So this gift of exhortation. Do we have enough laborers right now doing the work of Christ? No, we need more laborers. We need more laborers. I read a note today from Brother Reimer. He sent a prayer letter through today. And the first thing that he talked about in his prayer letter was this. The need is so great in Liberia for laborers. You know what? You could say that about every city and every town and every country and every village. The need is great for laborers. It's the prayer request of the Lord. The prayer request of the Lord. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And so someone with this gift of exhortation is saying, hey, let's see, how can we, I wrote this way, an exhorter will figure out how to move those within his or her circle to join the labor team. By the way, it's not banging over someone over the head to be a part of the labor team. That's not an exhorter. That's a discourager. And that's not a gift of the Spirit. It's being led by the Lord, strengthening, uplifting, but being that, again, that spark plug that encourages people to be involved in the work of the Lord. Serving gifts. Serving gifts. Let's take a little bit of time on these. Romans chapter 12, verse number 8, serving gifts. So those were all, up until right now, those were all more in the line of speaking gifts. Okay? And sometimes people think, I don't want to speak, I don't want to talk, I don't want to, you know, okay, here's some serving gifts. Let's see what the Bible says. Romans chapter 12, verse number 8. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 12. Looking at the word ruleth there, by the way, in verse 8. 1 Corinthians 12, 28. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. What we're looking at here is the word ruling and the word governments, and this is the gift of administration. Gift of administration. Both of these words refer to leadership. Leadership. They refer to someone who has the ability, again, it's a fruit of the Spirit, to manage, to oversee, to rule, to lead. In this gift of leadership, or we're saying administration, it is the ability to see an objective, formalize it, and lead a group of people to reach whatever the objective may be. We could simplify it into this statement, leading others to get the job done. Leading others to get the job done. Pastors are instructed in the Bible to rule well. One would think that a pastor would have to have this gift. But pastors are not the only ones in a local church that have this gift. In your own little way, or big way, whatever you want to call it, we may have some people in this room that you have the ability to take. And you were mentioning to me tonight that someone came and said, I'd like to just take this, whatever it was. It doesn't matter what it is right now. But that must be someone who has somewhat of the gift of administration, a gift of leadership who says, I'm willing to just take whatever this area of ministry is, and I will talk to you about it, Pastor, but I'll lead this thing. Maybe you have that. Maybe that's in you. And again, it isn't a matter of saying, that doesn't sound like it's me. Okay, then that's not your gift. Spiritual gifts are not to make you uncomfortable. Spiritual gifts are things that God has already equipped you with, that when you got saved, now the Holy Spirit of God is going to take those things that are already in you and use them for God's glory. Those are spiritual gifts. Supernatural gifts. The management of the church, and I hesitate using that word, but the management of the church is very important. The leadership of the church is very, very important. Can you imagine, and maybe there, I don't mean to get negative here, but poor financial decisions can cause great stress on a church. This is why we at Anchor Baptist Church, when we're thinking about making financial decisions, we've gone traditionally, we've gone very slow, and we've sought counsel, and we've brought things together as a team and thought, prayed, and sought. And that's the way that we've been led, and that's the way we want to keep leading that way. But leadership, when we think about this gift of administration and this gift of maybe leadership, it starts by being a servant. It's not the CEO is up here and everybody else is underneath the CEO. No, whoever the greatest leader is ought to be a servant. Ought to be willing to do whatever it is that is the basis of things. We are prone to follow those who are following the Lord. Quickly turn with me to Acts 15. No one is self-made. These gifts are all given by the Lord. And by the way, this gift of administration doesn't have to be that you're leading the entire church. Yes, the pastor is the under-shepherd. You can have this gift of administration and be leading four or five people, taking a ministry or doing something within that ministry, whatever it may be. So don't think that you don't have this gift of administration. I think we have more people that have the gift of administration than actually think they do. Because you say, okay, maybe my gift of administration would be like somebody taking and organizing. We already have someone that's kind of helping with this, but someone who is organizing a birthday and anniversary fellowship. You know, that takes administration. That takes leadership. That takes, okay, I need you to take care of this for me, please. I need you to help in this area. It could be someone who's quiet. You don't have to be boisterous to be a leader. So think about the possibilities of, again, we're thinking glorifying God, equipping the saints, and reaching the lost, evangelizing the lost, sharing the gospel. When we think about these, look at Acts 15, 13. Please. And after they held their peace, James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, hearken unto me." Listen up. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. What I'm focusing on there is how James says, "Hey, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Follow me as I follow the Lord." Leadership, administration. Let's look at one more serving gift. Let's go back to Romans chapter 12. You think about that, going back to that gift of administration and leadership. The pastor is one man who can be at one place at one time. And I believe that God has given us, I don't know who has what gift. We're still plowing through this and working through this. But we have people with the gift of administration, no doubt about it. And many of you have exhibited that through the months, through the years. I'm just saying, don't sell yourself short and think, well, that's not one of my gifts. Maybe, maybe not. Remember what we're supposed to be doing, figuring this whole thing out, is in everything by prayer and supplication. That means trying to figure out our spiritual gifts is a matter of prayer. God, would you please help me? So I hope that we're praying about that. Romans chapter 12, verse number 7. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. 1 Corinthians 12, 28. Or We're looking at one little word in verse 28, helps. The word helps. So ministering and helps. We have the gift of helps, we call it. You could write down Ephesians 3:12 as well. If we had no one in the church with the gift of helps, the church would not make it. The church would not glorify God, the church would not equip any saints, and the church would not evangelize the lost. This is probably the one gift that is the most needed, or maybe the most, most of us would have the gift of helps. It is the Spirit-given ability to carry the burdens and tasks of others. Can I help you with that? It's that Spirit-given ability, that's that Spirit-given vision to be a man or a lady who just recognize, okay, this is an area I can help with. Can I help with this? And we have scores of people that have helped at Anchor Baptist Church. And by the way, again, without an army of people with an attitude and the gift of helps, we're not getting anything done. Or we're getting very little done. Doing for others, here's another note. Doing for others whatever needs to be done. You know, someone with a gift of helps is content in helping a leader reach his or her goals. But remember, the leader needs to be a servant as well. Don't have to be recognized. Don't have to be on the front lines necessarily. I'll be on the front lines behind and just doing the work, helping with the goal of glorifying God. What better thing to have as a goal is to be a helper to glorify God? To be a helper to equip the saints, to be a helper to evangelize the lost. The help gift is a supporting gift. The help gift is what makes everything else happen. Quickly turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Verse 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. And he heals her here in the story. The point that I'm trying to make is the gift of helps. She was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And then we see here the coats and the garments which Dorcas has made while she was with them. Serving. Using the gift that God had given her. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'll just read this. Just listen quickly. I'll turn quickly. You listen quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. It's not a chain. It's chain. The Apostle Paul, right? He oft refreshed me. Gift of helps. I don't know exactly what he was doing to refresh him. but a gift of helps. Onesiphorus. Romans 16. I'm not going to read it, but you could jot it down. Read Romans 16. Paul lists it's a help list. Romans 16, filled with name after name of people that were a help. And I know this to be the case. Paul on his own was only one man. Yes, a great missionary. Yes, a great preacher. Yes, someone who we've been learning about in the book of Philippians on Sunday afternoons. But he's talking constantly about this person who helped him, and this person who helped him, and this person who helped him. It's a team effort, amen? We need helpers, and we have so many here. Many of you are helping. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. Glorify God. The most needed and most common gift. We can't get anything done if we don't have cooperation. We don't have help. Possibly tonight you say, I can't preach, I can't teach, I can't sing. Maybe that's your description. But most people can clean. Most people could at least deliver a meal to somebody, maybe not cook it. Many of you are gifted with your hands. You could fix something for someone. Every week, praise the Lord, we have the opportunity to straighten chairs and put out songbooks. You ever thought about this? On a non-church situation, you could mow your neighbor's lawn because maybe you'd find out he's not well. Gift of helps. It doesn't have to be only within right here at church on Sunday at 3 o'clock. It could be that gift of helps that you have is going to bring down the barrier or the wall to your neighbor's heart to then share the gospel with them at the right given moment that the Holy Spirit says, now. It's because they've seen what? They've seen compassion.